is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure. Oh, glory,
glory, glory.
Oh,
glory, glory.
Hands to the heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisited us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground. The camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes,
it will be ours, it will be ours.
Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Levan Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I don't know what it is you do at 11 o'clock, but whatever it is you do do, I'm happy that you do that do and that you do it with me. All right. What are we talking about this morning? Can I tell you that I don't know which law school Fred Smith been to, but I want to send my children there. That is obviously a really brilliant law school. But that's not what we're talking about this morning. I am joined in studio this morning by I'm going to call him a friend now to Unleash. He's going to be a friend of Unleash. Captain Glenn Bain is with me this morning, and we're going to talk because a couple of you had questions, and you wanted to know how exactly do you go about finding the kind of careers that Captain Bain spoke about the last time we were here. A couple of you called me off air and was like, you know, he spoke so much about different navigational opportunities, different opportunities at sea, et cetera. But for laymen, many people are just unaware of how you go about getting it done. We live in a new world. Definitely, the pandemic has definitely dictated that the world we once knew is slowly becoming a world that no longer exists. There are studies that have suggested that America is now beginning to pull back its thrust to implore its citizens to all become college-educated students. In my own humble opinion, I believe that the Bahamas ought to follow suit. I personally believe that we have too many degree-holding people in this little country. And what it does is it makes a country where you have a bunch of people that are overly skilled to do the work that is necessary. And as such, you ended up with a frustrated workforce and people want to leave the country in mass exodus because there's really nothing for them to do. As a matter of fact, and this is hopefully not overly offensive to them, I actually saw an opening in the newspaper the other day for the Bahamas National Trust. The position of a senior park warden. And the requirement is that you must have a bachelor's degree. And I couldn't understand. I've worked with the park warden on many occasions. I have seen the duty of the park warden on many occasions. The job billet of a park warden, And I can't quite tell you what exactly would we be using a bachelor's degree for, right? I imagine anybody with basic certificate course application of basic mathematics, probably someone with a basic project management certificate, someone with definitely navigational certification, someone with some dive certification, definitely someone with some background in law enforcement would be ideal. But when you ask for a bachelor's degree, I imagine that I can think about at least 150 fellas in my head right now, aptly suited for that job that can no longer qualify for it. Instantly, and I can't tell you for the life of me, what would they be doing with the bachelor's degree? Like, unless you just want your park warden to have a bachelor's degree hanging on his wall, I don't know. There is nothing there for a bachelor's degree holder to do. This job does not require that. And so we see the conversation had many times over where people are saying, oh, and I even heard the director of labor saying, oh, Bahamians maybe need to go out and get some more skill, et cetera, et cetera. Well, what may also need to happen is we may also need to stop having these issues or these applications or these opportunities where I need to speak Mandarin, Tuskegee, and Latin, right? Plus have a bachelor's degree, plus have at least climbed at least two connect trees in a corner or a neighborhood that wasn't mine, plus have saved the baby whale at one time in my life, plus have swam across the Atlantic. And by the time as you get through the criteria of what it takes to get this job, literally better off just staying home and saving my time. And so the job market, and I believe the director of labor, there are many jobs out there to be had. There are many jobs that Bahamians are simply not interested in. I don't blame them. I don't want Bahamians to eat up the lion's share of minimum wage jobs, because if they eat up all the minimum wage jobs, then what is there going to be for the immigrant to do? And I know you're going to say, well, the immigrant could go back where they live. But if you understand the way societies work, you would understand that immigrant labor turns into production, that turns into cash flow for the citizen, who then turns into a middle-class citizen and is able to make an investment. And hopefully, if him and enough middle-class dudes get together, they can now become what is called a conglomerate. And then that conglomerate becomes an umbrella agency that kind of has the big prosperity, et cetera, as we've seen in instances of the Bay Street Boys and the Sunshine Boys, et cetera. That's how it ought to work. What we continue to do, though, is we continue to kind of trench out these $210 a week jobs, and we want Bahamians to suck them all up. And that isn't beneficial, in my estimation, to the landscape of the Bahamian population. So I brought a guy here that has spent a lot of his life out to sea, who has made quite a wonderful career out to sea. And it didn't necessarily take excessive amounts of structured education to get it done. Some of you have asked me about him. He's back. Captain Glenn Bain, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you, Mr. Levin. Very well. Thank you very much. And always a pleasure to be on the show.
I see you look like you're getting younger. I'm running, working out.
Well, I was on a water fast all of last week and ate nothing, drank nothing but water, no food. Wow. And I think that took a couple pounds off me and made me a little younger. So I'm feeling better.
Okay. So, Salvo, you know, people have asked me about you since the last time you were here and we did the show. And you talked about, you know, life at sea and some of the possibilities of life at sea and what that could look like if we are able to get Bahamians to want to look in the direction of maritime careers, etc. Walk us through, I mean, outside of your time in the Defense Force, which would have been like a natural baptism into your seamanship experience. Outside of that, though, you've done some things with international certifications, etc. What exactly would you say is the mode or the trajectory one ought to take if they decide that I'm going to pick up a life in the maritime industry?
Yeah, for me, what I did, once the Defense Force seconded me to the Port Department, mm-hmm, as a Deputy Port Director, I was able to understand, you know, everything opens up to you in the real world. Because the Defense Force obviously is a closed network where you don't really get into the real world. Because the military has no obligation to apply to or conform to, mm-hmm, what is required internationally for domestic ships.
Correct.
So we didn't, I was doing everything they do.
Right.
But I didn't realize that there was a requirement outside of the Defense Force, mm-hmm, to serve in these capacities as mates and captains and deckhands and all the rest of that.
Right.
But I found all of that out when I went to the Port Department I captained every vessel in the Defense Force, up to the 108s at the time. They were the largest ones, Yellow Elder, Samano, and Port Nelson. I captained every single one, mm-hmm. right, at some point. And I was less than 30 years old.
Right.
So when I went to the port department, I found that although I have done all this training, I've done all this sea time on board those ships, I couldn't even drive a ferry boat from Nassau to Paradise Island with passengers because I had no certification.
Okay.
The certification I needed, obviously, would be B-class license.
B-class.
I found that out. Yeah. I took my B-class, A-class, got all them sorted out. And then I realized I had to go away.
Okay, so let's walk through it. Let's walk. Actually, is the criteria for one person, if I decided today that I wanted to become a Class B, how would I take that first step?
Well, the first step is not very difficult. Mm-hmm. First of all, you need no qualifications criterially to enter the B-class course. Mm-hmm. We have numerous people, Cadet Maritime. We have individuals who put on the B-class training. Some mm-hmm. people do it over a period of 3 months. That could be like one day of the week for 3 months.
Okay.
Some do it over 2 weeks. If you go every night for 2 hours, 3 hours, you could do it over 2 weeks. You could do it in 1 week, 4 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Right?
Do they still do it? Do they still? I got my B class 11 years ago. When I did it, I think, is his name Glenn Bain or Jeffrey?
Glenn Lightburn.
Lightburn.
Yeah.
He was down there at the port.
Yeah.
And basically, Mr. Rogers was the administrative guy.
Yeah. For the boat registration.
Yeah. And I went there. I signed up for the examination. Mm-hmm. They asked me, where was I going to do the classes? I told them I didn't have anywhere to do the classes. Mm-hmm. And they said, well, the port department actually has a manual.
Okay, that's right.
So they gave me the manual, right? Yeah. I don't remember what was the fee for the manual.
Right.
But I took the manual home and I
studied it.
I taught myself.
Yeah.
And then I went back, got the dates for the examination.
Right.
Paid for the exam. Mm-hmm. Went, took the exam. And then I passed the examination. And then, of course, there was the boat handler's portion.
The ship right. Handling, yeah, the boat handling course.
Right.
Yeah.
And I imagine that that is where most people will find a bit of a difficulty because you then have to find someone with a boat, right?
That's correct.
Luckily, mm-hmm. To his credit, Philip Durham was my operations chief and chief of the harbor unit.
Right.
So he orchestrated a situation where I was allowed to do my handler's course while at work, right?
Right.
In Her Majesty's vessel. And so we did it, and I can tell it now. It's 11 years later. He's retired, and so am I.
Yeah.
But we ran an operation in the area.
I know.
Right? And, well, it just happened to be on our patrol route, so we just did it on the patrol. The point I'm making is there are ways to go about doing it, I imagine. That is the way you talk about, which is going through the cadet or one of those. But is there, or are you aware, is there still the self-enlistment?
You can, well, there's no requirement for you to go through you can just apply, and every fourth Thursday of every mm-hmm. month, mm-hmm. They actually do the test. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what they basically practice and they try to do. Okay. So if you just want to apply for the test and do it, you can do that, right? Mm-hmm. And like you say, if you purchase the manual and you can self, so see, people like you and I, mm-hmm. who've been through the Defense Force,
right.
We would have already attain certain level in navigation and, mm-hmm. and certain level in seamanship.
Sure.
Right? But the person coming up, like you say, off Mini Street, mm-hmm. never been in the Defense Force, even if they get that manual, can they really follow it the way we could? No.
Correct.
They wouldn't.
Correct.
So they would need to go to Gadites or to somebody to do a formal how to understand this manual. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they also need to understand how to push the throttle on a vessel to make it do what you want to do.
Sure.
So that person would have to go through formal training, which is almost, you know, the majority of people. Mm-hmm. And once you go through that training, it gets you a B-class license, good for a 100-ton vessel to start out with. And then as you get experience, that can go all the way up to 500 tons, mm-hmm. gross tons. Mm-hmm. And then you have to get that for time before you can even be eligible to take the A-class license.
Okay.
Now, the A-class license is a little more chart work, navigation, all the rest of that. The A-class license, the difference between the two, the B-class license gives you the authority, the licensing ability, mm-hmm. the word isn't here, but to operate a vessel in a particular port area, as a port area.
Okay.
And you can only, you're restricted to that area.
Okay.
So you can't get a B-class license in Nassau and then go to Inago and say, well, I have a license I can use. No, they can't use that anywhere outside of Nassau port area. Mm. The A-class license, once you get the A-class license, you can go in any port area of the Bahamas mm-hmm. and operate. And you're licensed to operate anywhere in the Bahamas or any port area. Mm-hmm. Now, some of the mistakes that people make, oh, I have an A-class license. I can take a ship anywhere now. So it doesn't work like that anywhere in the Bahamas. Because the A-class license doesn't give you the opportunity or give you the authorization to go beyond that port area and enter unrestricted or open seas. Mm-hmm. Oceans and bank. The A-class license is only for a particular port area or any port area. Mm-hmm. Right?
Okay.
Now, if you want to take a vessel from here to Cat Island, for example, a mailboat with passengers, mm-hmm. You're required to have a license under the STCW code.
Okay.
And that license would be a master of under 500 gross tons.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's no course in the Bahamas that you can do that. You have to go off. Yeah, you can't. I don't know why, because this is something that Gadites and everybody else could readily put on training for. Mm-hmm. But it's just that it's not enforced. Mm-hmm. So the guy with A-class license believe that he can take his vessel anywhere in the Bahamas.
But they teach, but they teach chart work, and they teach fuel calculation, and I mean basic things that you would need to know to go on a patrol from here or on a voyage from here to anywhere. They teach that in the A class.
They do teach you that, mm-hmm. but do they teach you that based on the SCCW convention that requires that once a vessel is going in open seas, they have to have a certificate under this code? Mm. They don't teach you to that extent,
no.
And that is what they need to start doing.
Okay, so you get your B class, your 100 tons.
Yeah.
Then you go to A class, which allows you the ability to sail anywhere.
No.
Any port area in the Bahamas.
Right.
And then you say in order to go past that, you need a master mariner.
Under 500 ton based on the STCW code, which is an international requirement, mm-hmm. but it's also domestic. The STCW code, unlike SOLAS Convention and MARPOL Convention, mm-hmm. Comes into any waters. Once you go into open seas, that now applies. Okay. It doesn't say you got to be doing an international voyage like the SOLAS says and the MARPOL says.
Okay.
It doesn't care what voyage you're doing. Once you go into open seas, or they call it unprotected waters, mm-hmm. you are required to have a certification on the STCW.
So, okay. So, port area would be considered how far in and out or how far from around the actual port of the place that you are. Because, port areas aren't very big areas.
They're pretty big. But you can average about 10 miles mm-hmm. off the coastline mm-hmm. around any island of the Bahamas.
Oh, that's reasonable.
And they're very delineated under the Port Authority Act.
Okay.
They delineated to tell you exactly how that delineation line runs.
Okay.
But you within 10 miles of any island, you're basically within the port area for that island.
Okay. That's reasonable.
Very reasonable.
You don't need to be more than 10 miles.
No. Not
having
not
fun.
Not operate.
Yeah. No. Okay. So, all right. So, as somebody that has done all of the international training, et cetera, somebody that's captained both
locally
naval ships,
and internationally, yeah.
Right. What do you say to the 17-year-old? Because that's who my phone calls basically came from. Mm-hmm. People between the ages of about 16 and 17 wondering, how do I go about doing this? What are the recommendations that you give to people like them on how to get the voyage or the journey started?
Well, first of all, you need to know where you want to go. Do you want to go domestic or do you want to go international? Mm-hmm. If you lost licenses.
Sure.
If you want to go international, which at the end of the day you probably would, mm-hmm. then you need to take it to the STCW, and even the domestic requirement, before you can get a license, a B-class license, you have to do the basic safety training course under the STCW, mm-hmm. which is 4 core modules, but it doesn't qualify you to do anything.
Sure.
It only mm-hmm. says for you to be able to go to sea, you mm-hmm. have to do these 4 core modules, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just a requirement. So you do that, but to get a certification as a 500-ton license holder on the STCW, you got to do a very structured STCW training. And that has to be approved by the Bahamas Maritime Authority. Now, apparently no entity has ventured, I guess. I mean, I don't know. If what I wanted to do before I went into what I do now, mm-hmm. Because this kind of came upon me based on a demand for ISPS. Mm-hmm. When I left the BMA,
okay.
my intention was to open up a maritime training school. Mm-hmm. I wanted to train Bahamians internationally to be ratings forming part of a navigation watch, engineering forming part of a navigation watch. Basically, everything the STCW code required, because I wanted to do it structurally based on the code.
Okay.
Enable seaman training and all the rest of that. Sea time, I already had in my mind the sea time. I would talk with tropical shipping. They got a lot of ships in and out of the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And find out if you know, they would be susceptible to accepting certified Bahamians who would be prepared to work on their ships. Betty Kay coming in and out of Nassau and going to Miami. These are entities that doing international travel mm-hmm. that we can readily tap into, right? Mm-hmm. The mailboat company, that company has been responsible for helping most of the cadets of the LJM, mm-hmm. Lowell J. Mortimer mm-hmm. Institution, certify their coming on board, staying on board, and doing, they have what you call the seamanship task book, mm-hmm. which means you are verifying as you go along that you've witnessed certain amount of anchorage, was engaged in certain amount of man overboat drills, firefighting drills, and you can drive the actual seaboat and all the rest of that. So you're doing all this stuff. And at the end of the day, you can certify. Now, the problem that a lot of Bahamians facing right now, I mean, the young, I speak with them all the time. Mm-hmm. Some of them going to different institutions. The one in Canada, in Prince Edward Island, mm-hmm. I'll tell you the name in a minute. That, a lot of them went there. It's a 6-month ratings program.
Okay.
When you finish, you have a Canadian certification. Mm-hmm. You don't have the STCW certification yet because now you need the sea time.
Okay.
Even as a rating, to be able to qualify as a rating forming part of a navigation watch or rating forming part of an engine watch, mm-hmm. right? Holland College is the name.
Okay.
I know because I went there. I'm the person that actually went there to vet the college to see if their training would be suitably ideal for our Marine cadets.
Okay.
Because when the Marine cadet program started up, it was Dudley Martinburn and myself. Well, he was spearheading it, mm-hmm. but he got me to come along from a technical perspective. I was the one going around to all the schools, doing all the presentations and all the rest of that stuff. And it got hundreds. I think thousands have already passed through that program, mm-hmm. right? And the Holland College was institute identified, vetted, and I actually audited Holland College to ensure that what they're going to be teaching the students that we get to go there mm-hmm. is in conformity with the SCCW code so that they can be properly certified at the end of the training. Mm-hmm. And they amended some of their training to that end because most of their training was just designed for Canadian certification.
Okay.
So they amended, you go there for that 6-month period, and you come out, all you need is your sea time, and then you can apply to the BMA, and technically they should be able to give you a certification as a rating forming part of a navigation watch or engine watch based on what program you did.
How much sea time?
I think it's at least, I think, a year. Okay. In total.
Okay.
In total, you need to spend a year at sea as a rating. And I'm not exact. I can check the SCCW code and reconfirm that. But I think it's at least a year at sea before you could be certified as a rating forming part of a navigation watch.
Mm.
And that's on international ships.
Mm. I cracked a joke over the weekend, Captain B, and I said, you know, during the pandemic, one thing has become very, very popular. Bahamians seem to be doing more boating now than I've ever seen them do, right? So I said, you know, these young ladies, they look like they like going out on boats so much that the Minister of National Security might as well just enlist them all. And then we could form an all-female crew and crew to HMBS Bahamas. Because these people got more time out to sea than most people that actually go out to sea.
I'll tell you about females.
Mm-hmm.
There's a young lady that's now a pilot in Freeport Harbor
mm-hmm.
named Lona Maxis.
Uh-huh.
Lona, I first met Lona at the port when she came to do a B-class license, mm-hmm. right? And she was driving the sightseeing boats
mm-hmm.
for UNESCO in Freeport, because she's from Freeport.
Okay.
And she wanted to do more. Mm-hmm. And I can see, you know, I talked to her, and she was like spirited. I need to get on some big bike. I need to do that. And she drove those, and she wanted to really go to sea. So she did a B-class, did the A-class, and she wanted more. So I was trying to get her in with Marine Tanker Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with the Marine Tankers. These are the tankers that, the small coastal tankers that take the fuel around the family islands from Clifton Bear.
Okay, the red ones.
The red ones. Yeah. It's like 6-8 of them.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, it was Captain Vernon Ritchie, God bless his soul, captain within the past month, I think.
Okay.
He's a
from starter. From Elizabeth constituency.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
And he's
90.
He's from Long Island. Yeah, but I mean, you know, he was a real stronghold in the maritime industry. I mean,
okay.
All the way, I met him when I was under Defense Force.
Okay.
He was at the time driving the ship Deander. While it was a very, it was new, mm-hmm. but it was a shell tanker.
Okay.
And he would walk me around his bridge, and he would show me the Azaport, how the engine works. And he was, and I could tell you, he and I never lost contact, right? But anyway, Vernon Ritchie and I discussed taking a female mm-hmm. in the Marine Tanker fleet. And of course, he was adamant. This is impossible, Mr. Bain. This ain't gonna happen. Mm-hmm. At the time, I was at the BMA. So I would be inspecting the Marine Tanker ships every year. Mm-hmm. And part of my inspection, I would say, well, Captain Ritchie, I see you got a couple foreigners here. What are we going to do about replacing them with behemoths? Mm-hmm. Oh, Captain Bain, we can't find people. We can't this and that. You know, and it always was a little contention between us mm-hmm. as to how are we going to get this fleet that is operating in the Bahamas mm-hmm. behemonized. And after about a year, Captain Ritchie said to me, Captain Bain, I think we'll give it a chance. Because I spoke to Alfonso, about Alfonso, who's the owner of the fleet.
Okay.
He's part owner of Marine Tankers. And, you know, pressure was also on him. I said, man, we got to do something. Why can't we take a female? She's qualified. She's certified. I mean, we got to give people opportunities. Captain Ritchie took Lona Maxis on Marine Tanker fleet. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, she was there for about 3-4 years. And she became his daughter. He was so impressed. And she became the mate on board the ship because she went off to Fort Lauderdale and did whatever courses. See, the good thing about Marine Tankers is they always worked with whoever, especially behemoths, mm-hmm. came on board, even as ratings. If you have the ability and the aspiration to become an officer, they would arrange for you to go to the institution and do all your courses and pay for your courses. And when you're certified, they move you up, mm-hmm. right? So between them and Bahamas Ferries, I call them the two entities in the Bahamas that has done so much for certifying behemoths in the maritime industry.
Fast Ferries you're talking about?
Bahamas Fast Ferries, okay. Yeah. Well, Bahamas Ferries is the name, but okay. Fast Ferries, yeah. Same company. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was she sailed. She didn't become a captain. She decided to get married just before they were going to move into being a captain. Mm-hmm. She got married and moved back to Freeport. And she was interested in becoming a pilot. So what she started to do is apprentice with the pilots, mm-hmm. although she wasn't really being paid for it.
Okay.
She did that for 2-3 years. And at the same time, she's able to get a job, a badge in the harbor mm-hmm. that went out. You know, they do
dockings
offshore. Well, they do offshore fuel. I forget the technical name for it.
They call it fuel lightering.
Not the lightering. This is not the lightering. Lightering is one big ship giving it to another big ship. Uh-huh. This one is, she's bunkering.
Bunkering, okay.
Ships that need fuel that's on anchor, mm-hmm. she would actually take fuel to them and give them fuel from the barge.
Okay.
Right? So she was the captain of the barge for a couple of years. And after that situation going on with Freeport Harbor, where some of the pilots decide they can form another company and all the rest of that, all that's history, but it mm-hmm. happened. Mm-hmm. There was an opening. And because she had already apprenticed, she had a certification, the director of the port at the time, you and I know Orlando Forbes. He's mm-hmm. a Defense Force officer. Mm-hmm. Orlando decided, look, we have a vacuum. We need some new people. And she was given that opportunity to come in as a pilot trainee, officially being paid.
Okay.
And after about 5-6 years, she's now an unlimited. She can bring any ship in that harbor, any size. Mm. All the cruise ships. All the ships going to container port. Mm-hmm. And she's the first female that I know of in the Bahamas that has the ability to bring a ship from the ocean into Freeport Harbor mm-hmm. and dock it like the men.
So you're saying that these girls who go out every Sunday on the boat have a wonderful possibility in front of them?
Wonderful opportunity.
They already like being out to sea.
Wonderful opportunity. And following her was my two daughters, Misty and Anisha.
Yeah.
They also work with Marine Tankers.
Yeah, yeah.
Miss right?
Yeah.
Because now, different from Lona. Mm-hmm. Lona never went to university to do maritime. She went to university, and I remember me and I having this discussion. She went to university, a junior college, I think, on a sports scholarship because she was athletic.
Okay.
Right? And I said, well, what you going to do sports? What you going to university for? And you want to be, oh, Captain Bain, I don't know. You know, this opportunity is here. And as far as I was concerned, she's going to waste 2 years.
Yeah, yeah.
But she did it, and here it is. She's still got a goal. She's still an unlimited pilot in Freeport Harbor. Mm-hmm. So my two daughters were the first two to go to California Maritime Academy.
Okay.
And when you go to Cal, it's a full 4-year college degree, but at the same time, you get your Coast Guard certification as a third mate, which in STCW terms converts to being an officer of the watch or an officer in charge of navigation. You can hold a watch on any ship anywhere in the world, right? Biggest cruise ship, the biggest tankers, the biggest bulk carriers, you can serve as a navigating officer. And they got those certification when they came, because the university had a sea training ship.
Okay.
And during their 4 years, during the summertime, they had to sail 2 months every year until they had the 6 month required to be an officer in charge of navigation watch, because they were in a structured training. And SCCW provide for that as well. Right? So they would have been the other two persons that I know initially. Now, today we got people coming through. I've been reading recently that there's a young lady that came through LJM. Her aspirations to become a female, the first Bahamian captain on a cruise ship, which is excellent. I mean, and she looked like she's on path to get there, you know. So females do not have to be restricted. It's a little more difficult because you can imagine as a female, just like you said, Defense Force should have a ship full of females. Because it's difficult for a female in the raiding capacity to go and live among men.
Right.
On board a ship that is out to sea for months.
And predominantly, it's 80% males on most of those ships.
Yeah, but the reason why most of the females that go on those ships, you know, they're in navigation, because they have single cabins for the officers.
The accommodations, yeah.
But certainly not for the ratings.
So, what do you say then to people? Because I know people in your age college who suggests, and one of my dad's greatest mentors in life, a man by the name of Stanley DeVoe, he says, you know, trying to find people to go out to sea is almost ridiculously impossible. You know what I mean? He's a fisherman, right?
Yeah.
And he says, man, you know, the reason why I had foreign labor was because my Honduran guys are ready to sail at a minute's notice. My Bahamian crew I had, I need to give them 2 weeks. When the time comes to sail, this fella, car breakdown, so he can't go to sea. And it's just so many. And so Bahamians just are not as involved or as interested in sailing as many people would believe. What do you say to people like that, that says, you know, Captain Bean, it sounds as though he's making up a dream. Bahamians aren't really interested in sailing. We like white-collar jobs. We like to be doctors and lawyers and bankers and accountants. That's what we're into. We're not into sailing. Do you think those people have a point there, or do you think maybe they're just not tapping into the right type of behavior?
I'll tell you my views on it. They have a point, but there are 2 points I would have. First of all, we see today, even in the mailboat fleet, that there's a lot of Filipinos doing deckhand jobs and all the rest, anything to do with ratings. A lot of these ships are now hiring a lot of Filipinos. You know why? It's not only because the Filipinos work better. Well, they work better. But the problem is,
why? They're not, excuse my nationality.
Because when a Filipino comes, he lives on board the vessel, right? He doesn't have to go home to his family. And if something happened at night, you got to. And he's always on board the ship. So there's a fight, he's there out it, right? He's not going to leave your ship. He works well. He has to go home when the vessel comes in, right? Or he wants to go home.
Right.
The thing is, the Filipino will work harder for less. Because in his country, the value of money is different.
Right?
If you have a construction company and you can bring in 20 Mexicans in your company and you put them up and you have them working every day, you will have a disadvantage on the fella who hires Bahamians who are going to not work as hard, who are going to work based on the Labor Act and they're not going to want to work over all the rest of that. You'll have the advantage, right? So why, if you can't do that in the construction field, you should be able to do that in the maritime field or even in the fishing field. Because if you have a fishing fleet of Dominicans, for example, and I am trying to work out with my crew of Bahamians, you have the advantage. You're going to pay them less. They're going to dive deeper. They're going to get you more fish. So the fact that the Bahamians have to now compete with the Dominican for a diving job, is that fair to our country?
I don't know if it's fair or not.
No, it's not.
But okay, so I mean, the skill is the skill, right?
The skill is,
and
the
it's not
skill.
A skill that everybody has.
It's but it's the same skill in the construction skill in every other industry.
Yeah, but Cap, when you consider navigating, I tell people this all the time. not everybody can get into a boat. I, as a matter of fact, these fellas that like to be murderers, I have an idea. We should make all of them crew a ship that sail for one full year and they can't dock until they come for fuel. And just sail them.
They'll probably do that.
I promise you, when they come back, they wouldn't be murderers no more.
No, right? No.
They would be... But they would be everything else.
But Levon, they got to be given opportunity. Mm-hmm. Let me explain the opportunity. See, there's a second part. I told you there's two things I want to say, right? Mm-hmm. The second thing is, I know of many, you know, the Marine cadet turns out hundreds per year.
Okay.
Right? And out of those hundreds, at least 10% of them go off to Holland College and maritime institutions. But when they're finished and they're ready to be certified, they have to get sea time. They are unable to get a ship assignment. And I even up to today, I spoke to one of them, right? They want to sail. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody able to get them an assignment on a ship as a rating forming part of a navigation watch or even a rating cadet, right? Because there's no ships.
How does the port controller play into all of that?
Port controller has nothing to do with none of that because you're talking international certification. It's the BMA.
No, but we can...
I can tell you how the BMA plays into it.
We can cure all things through relationships.
Yeah, but the port, that doesn't come under the port. The port deals with A and B license. That's it.
Sure.
Okay. Right? The BMA deals with STCW certifications.
And is that the BMA in London?
That's the BMA here, Kenneth Carey. Well, okay. he answers to London.
Okay.
He answers to the technical team in London.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is, that's the job I had. Mm-hmm. And when I had that job, whole slew of people came to me and said, "Oh, Captain Bain, I thank you so much." There's a guy named Petey, who was an engineer. He couldn't get a job at Marine Tankers. Eventually, you know, after a while, they almost had to hire him based on the pressure I was putting on them as a port state inspector, right? Same thing with a cook. He was a chef. He used to be on the Freeport feed and a lot of other Bahamian ships. He was trying to get in there for years. And after he was able to get in, he said, "Oh, Captain, I didn't even know the door was open because of me." Mm-hmm. But they came back to me and they say, "Thank you. Somebody has to get off their fat backside and look out for behemoths."
Right.
Right? And that somebody is the BMA. Mm. Let me quickly read for you what the Bahamas Maritime Authority Act says. Mm. Section 5. "It shall be the function of the authority on behalf of the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, G as in Gulf, to expand and create maritime employment opportunities for Bahamians." Mm-hmm. But do they ever do it? No. They put a roadblock in the way. "Oh, you want this license, you got to do all these things," which is fine. I mean, yes, you want them to comply with the SEC.
Sure.
But what are you doing to expand and create opportunities for these Bahamians once they are certified? Mm. Absolutely nothing. Mm. When is somebody going to put the pressure on them to do what they're supposed to do? Mm. I tried over and over again.
I want to open the phone lines, Cap. The numbers. Let me give you my numbers. 323-623-22-325-4316. 325-4259. You can give me a call. Captain Glenn Bain is in the studio with me this morning. We're talking about the possibilities of careers. You know what I mean? There's going to be so much different about this new world that we create after the pandemic. People are going to have to begin to wonder, how are they going to recreate themselves? Young people coming out of school are going to have to figure out ways to... and to seek employment in places that may not have conventionally been the places that we've looked before. Bankers, lawyers, and doctors. That's basically how we built the Bahamas. Interestingly enough, we're a country made up of about 80% of it is water. And I believe there's quite a bit of opportunity out there at the horizon. Captain Bain is here to tell you how to go about it. You can give us a call on the next end of the break.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. Stay informed about local COVID-19 updates from trusted and reliable sources. Wash your hands regularly and be sure to have hand sanitizers readily available. Keep your surroundings clean and disinfect all surfaces that carry germs. Talk to your family and friends about protecting themselves and staying healthy. For more information on COVID-19, check the Ministry of Health's website at www.bahamas.gov.bs/health and the Bahamas Ministry of Health Facebook page.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back. Thank you for staying with us. Levin Miller is here. If you're just tuning in, Captain Glenn Bain is my guest. We're talking about the possibilities of maritime life. We're talking about the opportunities available in maritime life. We're talking about how do young people seek to qualify themselves and then try to see if they can be outfitted with opportunities in maritime life. I got a call online. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. You're on.
Good morning. And how are you, Levon?
I'm well.
Good morning, Mr. Bain. How are you doing?
Good morning, Anisha.
You recognize me.
Yeah.
I don't think Levon recognizes that this is his.
As soon as I heard them call me Levon, I know they know me from school. Yeah. How's everything?
Everything is going okay. So I just want to plug the industry that I'm in right now. I am the operations coordinator for a local tug operation in Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
And since we're speaking about opportunities, I am calling to let you know that we have some. So we are currently seeking out 3 Bahamian deck cadets and a couple engineers as well, deck engineers. And this will give young Bahamians the opportunity to get familiarized with the tug industry.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered both an international and a local company,
okay.
Because we do have a parent company in the U.S. So when we speak about opportunities, the opportunities, they do exist to some extent.
Okay.
But I think one of the issues that we have is exposure.
Okay.
So
how do people find themselves in that direction? Well, first of all, how do people find out? Is there like a website or something that they can visit? And then the second question is how do people find the route to those opportunities, Anisha?
In terms of finding the route, let me start with that question. You just have to you have to talk to people, you have to network, you have to really be passionate and have some fire in your belly for the industry that you say you're interested in. If you want to become a doctor, you're going to research the route that it's going to take to become a doctor. If you want to become a pilot, you know, you're going to take the steps to apply yourself to whatever that course is for you to reach that goal. So it's the same for the maritime industry. If you're serious about it, start doing the research and see where it is you can insert yourself.
But some people aren't. So, and I'm happy to have you on the phone. This, in case you don't know, this is my schoolmate and squad mate. I don't know. She took up a higher call, I imagine. She's over there. I couldn't imagine anything being higher than life in the military, but she's over there now. Are you piloting the tugboat?
No, I'm not piloting. I actually work in operations.
Okay.
For the company. I'm the second person in charge overall of the tug operation that we have in Freeport here. So.
Okay. So what I was saying was sometimes there are people that aren't aware that they would love life at sea. I mean, if you've sailed on the Defense Force before, you would know that there are some people that cringed when they got sea billets, and then they got them, and you needed a crane truck to take them off of the boat after they, you know, after they got their assignments, right?
Absolutely.
What do you say about people that aren't certain? Because there's so much uncertainty on the horizon. Not everybody knows that they love the sea until they actually get
right.
a taste of it. To those people, what do you recommend?
And that's a good question, Levon, because I actually just had this discussion with a few of my colleagues the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from, let's just say, the high school level or even the junior high school level and the Bahamas Maritime Authority, I think it is their program, the BMCC, which is the Cadet Corps.
Mm-hmm.
They have this program in place where technically the high schoolers are supposed to be becoming exposed to this industry. Mm-hmm. So that's one avenue, but I feel like we still have to do a lot of work even in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because to try to figure out what they're doing with the program right now, where they're at, are the persons that are being spit out of these programs even up to par? I would say flat out no.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, I am personally, well, not personally, but you know, for the company, seeking out qualified individuals who we can indoctrinate into our company and groom to become tug operators.
Mm-hmm.
And it's difficult. And the thing is, this program is funded and it's already in place. But the question now is the quality of the program, you know? And so we're looking to take some strides to kind of partner with this institution to see what we can do, what kind of outreach we can do to improve the quality of the candidates that are available. Because, again, you don't know what opportunities are out there, but are we even being prepared at all?
Sure.
I mean, I would say the exposure is there to some extent because these programs do exist, right? They do have students enrolled in these programs. But then are the students taking it seriously? Are there opportunities after they are completed with these programs? Like, what's happening? And like Mr. Bain has suggested, the BMA also plays a big role in this because it's one of their programs.
How do people find your company's information? Give us that again so that we know how to...
Company, we have actually outsourced our, I guess, headhunting services to a local company, Aquamarine Agency. And so I'm trying to figure out what the number is. But let me give you the number of the person who is kind of overseeing the operation side of Aquamarine Agency, which is a crewing agency.
Sure.
His name is Mr. Jamal Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And his contact is 376-4453.
376-4453.
So if anyone is interested in applying for those open positions that we have and becoming involved in the tug industry, then they can reach out to him, and he will surely reach out to us.
All right, 376-4453, Mr. Jamal Smith.
Anisha, I have a question. There are a few persons that I've engaged that has completed Holland College as a rating. They did the six-month training. And they have registered with Aquamarine, and they're saying that they're still waiting 2-3 years to get a berth. Aquamarine has not found it. And there are also people who did LJM institution, and they said that because they were not on a sponsored course, nobody was sponsoring them, they were actually paying for themselves. The berthing from the ships that were engaged by Campbell Shipping, they give priority to those who were sponsored, and so they didn't get a berth, although they finished the training. Now, if Aquamarine is aware that you have all these billets available, how come they're not reaching out to these? Because these people, I talk to them on a routine basis. Obviously they're going to call you after the show, or call Aquamarine because they're being told that they can't find them any berths.
Aquamarine isn't reaching out because it is happening. They are reaching out. They are trying. They are a crewing agency, after all, so they're in the business of trying to place Bahamian mariners both locally and on the international level. However, I would say that the shortage in cadetship berths, it isn't only a local problem. It's an international problem. We have cadets from all over the world that are fighting for these positions.
Yeah.
And so it's really on the backs of the ship owners and their generosity to agree to accept Bahamian cadets.
Perfect. But if you have these billets that you're offering to Bahamian cadets, I mean, somehow they need to know. Now, they're going to know from the show, but the ones that I'm engaged with, obviously, I'm going to ask them to give a call to Aquamarine and try and get, because these people really want to sail. They want to certify. They want to finish what they started.
Right, right. And it is a big investment to begin with to even partake in this on this career path to become a mariner. And for the biggest roadblock to be, you know, an opportunity that you just don't have access to, you know, it's really unfortunate. But again, I think that Aquamarine, the team there, they have been doing the best that they can. as you may be aware, they stemmed out of the belly of Campbell Shipping, and Campbell Shipping was in the business of placing cadets for years on end, and the momentum hasn't stopped. It's just a matter of, I guess, trying to finesse these ship owners even more to open up their vessels to allow for opportunities for these Bahamians to complete their cadet ships.
Right, I'll reach out to
them. What is your title now? Is it captain?
More or less, yes. But I go as operations coordinator here.
Appreciate you for calling. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Levon. You guys have a good one.
All right.
Okay, thanks.
That's Anisha Williams. She's so, for 3 years of my life, for sure, there's a complete block of my memory that includes her. She was with me in grade 11, 12, and then we came out of high school and went into new entry training together. So I have a couple of text messages here. One says, good morning, Levin. They also asked for experience. How do you get experience or an opportunity? Let me take this one last call. Good morning, caller. You're on. You got 2 minutes.
Yes. Good morning, Levin. How you doing, man?
I'm good.
Wonderful. I'm an old soldier, man.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to know the age that you would stop taking trainees in, and also to the gentleman that is there. The government decides to for national service. Is that is the Defense Force able to handle that, or you have to revamp and do everything before you do that? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you very much. I don't know. I don't know, Cap. I don't know what would it take right now to get a national service off the ground. Certainly, I don't know if the Defense Force would be able to absorb that, because if you heard the Commander of Defense Force on this show last week, he alluded to the fact that 70% of his force, two-thirds of his force, is outdoing billets that the government has deemed necessary, right, as is mandated the Royal Bahamas Defense Force to do. If the government decided that, I mean, that they wanted the Defense Force to do it, the commander would simply have to manufacture more Marines, but it would be his job to get done. I don't know, though, if that could be added. I know he does have the Ranger program, and that could be seen somewhat as partial national service, because we usually filter those boys or girls into the organization later on. But to say that we specifically have a national service that trains young men and young women in a direction, I don't know. But I do believe it might be useful to simply add into the curriculum the kind of things that Captain Bain is doing. And that way, like Anisha Williams has said, you're able to begin to create in the imagination of the young boy or the young girl what a life in maritime sciences may open for them. And then they themselves will go down that hallway to figure out or to discover what they can find. That is the best I think will happen from this point.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be the duty of the Defense Force to, because national service means every single Bahamian at certain age got to go through the volume will require a totally different entity, in my opinion.
Correct.
And the Defense Force can lend assistance.
Mm-hmm.
The police force can lend assistance, and the various entity. And I think that will be the best approach, as opposed to just saying Defense Force is going to take on the world.
I tell people all the time, Captain Bain, I think they have an illusion, right? Because the Defense Force shows up, and when they show up, they show off, right? It's still only 1,500 of them.
That's it.
Don't mind that they stopped the whole of Bay Street from burning down. It was still only 1,500 of them. Don't mind that they are on every single Haitian apprehension, on every migrant roundup, on every single ceremony service. It's still only 1,500 of them.
And they're still spread thin, because now they're in the northern Bahamas, they're in the southern Bahamas, and then they're all over
on our street corners.
And on all over the waters.
Correct. So someone here says, those qualifications are usually sky high because they're looking for foreigners. Good morning, Levin. You have the best and greatest port controller in the history in your studio today. Very informative, a stern person, worked under him for a number of years. Kudos to him. This is coming from Marcia in Jet Skis. Okay, someone here is saying, where can I find Captain Glenbin? Captain Glenbin, please give these people your information on how they can reach you.
My cell number, 359-1424. I run a company called Bahamas Maritime Connection. My work number, 392-3514.
Say people on radio talk fast.
Cell number, 359-1424. I do a lot of WhatsApp. You can email me at glenbain@hotmail.com. That's GLENBAIN, one word, lowercase. GLENBAIN@hotmail.com.
Okay. Someone here says, Bahamians don't like the sea. That have to be a lie. Because every time I go on WhatsApp, I see the gals, them, on the back of the boat, screaming out, hey, and shorting Hennessy. They seem to be perfect sailors to me. I don't know what you're looking for, but every Sunday, they don't miss. As a matter of fact, I spoke to the board controller. I told him, I said, we got to figure out a way to make this more safe, because there's plenty boating going on a Sunday. And so hopefully I'm able to get him in studio. He's not come twice now. I'm publicly putting him out there. He's had my invitation twice. I've not seen him. His calendar and mine conflicted. We're working on unconflicting our calendars. Anyway, Captain Ben, I'm out of time. Thank you so much for coming.
I appreciate
you very much. I'm Leva Miller, Scottian Radio 96.9 FM. I am music yet. The Asian Professionals and Smart Talk. Don't move. They've got the news. It's now.
It will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.